Amen. Well, let's pray. We'll get right into the word today. Father, we do thank you. We praise you for another opportunity to minister your word. Father, we trust the Holy Spirit today, the teacher of the church, you called him. We thank you that he'll give me unction that I might speak as I ought to speak today, Father, that I might speak boldly, but I might speak the truth, and I might speak it in love, Father, by the unction of the Holy Ghost. We thank you for he is here. And we thank you that anointing is not only here for me to speak, but it's here for all of us, Father, to hear what you would have us to hear today, Father. So we thank you for hearts that are open. We thank you for ears to hear. We thank you, Father God, not only for ears to hear, but for grace to hear and to do, Father. For we know it's the doer of the word that's blessed, you said. And so, Father, we thank you for encouraging us. We thank you for helping us. And we thank you, Father, for enlightening us today. We give you all the glory and all the honor and praise in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Well, we started a couple weeks ago, we started a series called Old School Faith. Old School Faith. And so, you know, we started, I'm going to go back to a couple of scriptures that we looked at a couple weeks ago to talk about, you know, as we continue our series on old school faith. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, you remember he said Paul was praying here. This is a Holy Spirit-inspired prayer here in Ephesians chapter 1. You'll find a few of these throughout the epistles. They're wonderful prayers to pray over yourself and over your family and friends. But he's praying here. He says, I pray that you will begin to understand how incredibly great His, God's, power is to help those who believe Him. It is that same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. Notice God wants us to know how incredibly great His power is to help us, to help those of us who believe Him. You know, there's a lot of people in the world that say, that's great that, you know, that your God is all powerful, He's almighty, but what has He done for you? What does He do for you? And we can answer, He does plenty for us, amen? As a matter of fact, it is His power. He wants to use His power to bless us. Now, some people in the Christian world, even some Christians, think that God isn't using His power to bless us, that you can't count on God to use His power to bless us, and because they've never seen the power of God to their knowledge, to their knowing, work on their behalf, and so they assume that God's up there being stingy with His power, that God's not giving it, you know, God's not being free with His power. He's all powerful. He could help me if He wanted to, but He's not helping me. You know, I prayed for a miracle and it didn't happen. I prayed for someone to get healed and they died. You know, I prayed for this and it didn't come to pass. And so they've assumed that God has checked out. But that's really not the case at all. But we have to look into the Word. We have to find out, okay, so His incredibly great power is there to help us. But how do we connect with that power? Because that power has the capacity to do whatever it is you need done in your life. It has the power to fix your marriage. It has the power to break your addictions. It has the power to heal your body. The power can heal your emotions. That power can bring you your miracle. And remember, we started off this series saying that we want to show you and help you receive your miracle, your breakthrough, whatever it is in your life that you need, whatever it is you're believing God for. God wants you to walk in that. He wants you to receive that miracle. It doesn't have to be, you know, like going to the, you know, gambling and, you know, throwing dice and, you know, and just hoping that you win or playing the lottery. No, there is a sure way that you can receive your miracle. And God wants you to know what it is. And so that's what spawned this whole series on old school faith. How do we connect with that power? What we found out is with our faith that we connect with that power. So even though God is all powerful, if we don't learn how to use faith, if we don't learn how to walk in faith, we're not going to make a connection with that power. Right? And God wants us to connect. Remember, God's able to do what you need Him to do and more, but, you know, that by itself is not enough. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 is the other verse we looked at. It says, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. We know that about Him, don't we? Those of us that believe in God and believe He is who He said He is, He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. But notice He goes on to say, according to the power that works in us. So His exceedingly abundantly, abundant ability is contingent upon the power that's working in us. If there's no power working in us, then He is not going to be able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we need, what we ask or think, what we need Him to do. So we've got to know how to make the connection to that power. Okay, it's according to the power that works in us. Faith is what activates the power within us. And each of us has been given, as we saw last week, the measure of faith, the same measure of faith to begin. Just like every baby starts with the same, you know, basic muscle structure, the same basic skeleton. If that baby's born healthy, we look a lot the same when we're babies. And most of us aren't that cute, at least at the start. We turn cute real quick. but to begin with, we're looking a little rough coming out. But we all start basically on the same level. Okay, but we found out that our faith then can and it should grow. Romans 10:17 says that, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, we can develop our faith. We can grow our faith. We must be able to, because Jesus talked to different people and said to one person, you have little faith. Said to another person, you've got great faith. So that doesn't sound like it's very nice of Jesus. No, he's just calling it like it is, right? The good news is, the person that has little faith, you're not stuck. You don't have to be stuck with little faith. You can grow your faith and become a person of great faith. Right? But we've got to know how to do that. We've got to learn from the Word of God how to do that. See, the Word, when preached, produces faith in the hearers. That's why faith in the hearers. That's why I said faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You can't have faith for something that you've never heard. I didn't have faith for healing growing up in the church that I grew up in. I was born again at an early age. I don't even know how early I was born again. I was early childhood. I've never known anything except to serve the Lord. But you know what I didn't know growing up? I didn't know that God wanted to heal me. I never heard it. Never heard it. No one ever preached it. No one ever talked about it. I went to one of those churches where you could pray for healing if you wanted, if you were bold enough to really get out there on the edge. But then every prayer ended with, if it be thy will, because we didn't know what God's will was. And so we were just hoping. It's like, you know, scratching lottery tickets. We're playing, we just don't have any guarantee that we're going to win. But every now and then, someone would get lucky. How they got healed, I don't know, because it didn't seem to be from any faith going on in our church. It was just everyone was a hoping and a praying. You've heard that before, right? Well, I'm a hoping and a praying. Well, thank God that you can do more than hope and pray. Nothing wrong with, you know, when people say hoping and praying, they mean wishing. There is a Bible hope, which is an expectation. But when people say, I'm hoping and praying, they most of the time they mean, I'm wishing. I'm wishing for something, okay? And I'm praying for that thing I'm wishing for. But thank God, God has given us something more than that. But once I began to hear that God wanted me to be healed, that not only did he want me to be healed, but he'd already done what it took for me to be healed. He had already provided that healing. He had already paid for that healing through the stripes that Jesus bore on his back when he went to the cross. And when I started to discover that, I'd never heard that before. All of a sudden, faith started to rise in my heart. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Suddenly, I'm hearing something I had never heard before. And even though I had faith for salvation, even though I had faith for some other things, I had no faith for healing because I'd never heard it before until I began to hear. So it's so important. The rule is faith comes by hearing. You know, church people live defeated and broke and die sick all the time. And sometimes it's because they never heard. They didn't hear that it could be any different. They didn't hear that God wanted to prosper them. Didn't hear that God wanted to heal them. Or maybe they heard, but they didn't know how to connect with that power. They didn't know how to receive what it was they heard that God had for them. So that's what we're talking about with this old school faith, okay? But we have to be careful what we hear. What we hear will affect us positively or negatively. You know, you can have faith for bad things just like you can have faith for good things. You speak negative about your life and about your situation, and that's the vision you have for your life. Don't be surprised when it starts unfolding and coming to pass. Okay, if you're always saying bad things, I always get sick. This time of year, I always get sick. Well, then why would it be any different this year? Okay, now I'm not saying that to condemn you, to judge you. We've all been there, we've all done that, but I want to help you see today the more of the importance of these words that come out of our mouth. That they can bless you, can bless yourself or you can curse yourself. You can help your situation or you can hurt your situation. Okay? Regardless of what God's will is. right? Thank God we can know what His will is, and we can connect with it and begin stepping into agreement with it. But your faith, you got faith working for you one way or the other. Okay, we all do. But notice he says this faith that comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That word hearing in the original language is in the continuous present tense. So when he says faith comes by hearing, that's something that should be happening continually in the present tense. We should be hearing continually on a regular basis. That's the kind of hearing he's talking about. In other words, faith does not come by having heard. Oh, I heard that once. Oh, I heard that last year. Oh, I heard a preacher preach that one time. I know that scripture. That's great. All right, but faith comes by hearing continuously, continuous present tense, hearing and hearing by the word of God. So yesterday's faith is not going to change today's circumstances. You've got to have faith for today, okay? If you need to be hearing today, and you can hear it, the best way to hear it is from your own mouth. Just like I said last week, you don't believe anybody as much as you believe yourself. So when you're speaking God's word out of your mouth, that's powerful, right? And then that gets into your heart, and it becomes a great asset to you, a great benefit to you, okay? Now, faith, if faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, then faith and the word of God go together. They go together like the water and the wet, right? You can't have one without the other. If you have the word of God, if you're hearing the word of God, faith is going to come. Faith and the word of God go hand in hand, okay? You can't separate the two. And since faith and the word go hand in hand, then we can use them interchangeably in the word of God. So in Hebrews 11:1 that we looked at, this says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. We just say now the word of God is the substance of things hoped for, right? Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. We get faith from the word. So if faith is the substance of things hoped for, then the word of God can be the substance of things hoped for. And remember, we looked at that phrase, substance of things hoped for. The original language actually says, or is giving substance to things hoped for. Our faith, or the word of God, is giving substance to the things that we hope for. The things you're hoping for don't have any substance. Okay, but your faith can give those things substance. Your faith, and your faith, of course, comes from the word of God. So your faith or the word of God is the substance or is giving substance to things hoped for. Okay, the evidence of things not seen. Now, when we see that word seen, I highlighted that there because he says it's our faith or the word of God is the evidence of things that we don't see, the evidence of things not seen. Of course, that makes us think of our eyes. What we're seeing, what we envision, okay? But eyes, only have to do with visual perception or sight, but sight is only one of our five senses, right? We have more than one sense, thankfully, so the five senses, combined together, feed information about this natural world into our inner being. And so if we're focused on our eyes only, then we're actually missing 4/5 of our ability to perceive this natural world around us. It's just one of 5 ways that we can perceive the natural world, right? So thank God we can perceive things with our eyes, but thank God we can also perceive things with our ears. Because have you ever been not paying attention? You're near the street or whatever, and you're looking at something, you're focused on something, you're getting a little too close to traffic, and all of a sudden you hear someone honk, or all of a sudden you hear a car come by, and it arrests your attention. If your hearing sense wasn't working, you might be wandering right out into traffic and get hit. So thank God for all of our senses; they all work together. Right? And they all benefit us. And so they're all important. But here when he talks about, faith being the evidence of things not seen, I believe he's not just talking about things that you see with your eyes. I believe he's talking about our sensory perception, not just sight alone. The Bible's showing us the difference, really, between perceiving things by our senses and perceiving things by our faith. Okay? Let me read it to you from the Amplified Bible. It becomes even more clear. Hebrews 11:1 from the Amplified says this. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. This is what faith does. Okay? It perceives as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Just because your senses can't perceive it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Your senses cannot make contact with God. But he exists. Right? He lives in another realm. He lives in the realm of the spirit. There are angels right here in this room. There's probably a few demons here too. Because demons like to come to church with people. Some people bring their demons to church. You know, but that's all this is going on in the realm of the spirit. You can't see it. You can't hear it. You can't taste it. You can't smell it. And you can't touch it. But they're here. And every now and then, God will let individuals peer into that realm of the spirit. And they'll have a vision. And they'll see something in the realm of the spirit. Well, that was there before the vision, and it was there after the vision. But it exists in another realm, a realm where our physical senses cannot perceive. Okay? But by faith, we can perceive things. Everything that God said is true. Everything that God said exists in his word, it exists even if you can't see it or perceive it with your physical senses. Okay? So, I mean, there are things you can perceive with your eyes, but not with your ears. There are things you can perceive with your ears, but not with your taste. There are things that you can perceive with your taste, but not with your touch. There are things that you can perceive with your touch that you can't, it goes on and on. And our faith is the evidence of these things not perceived by the senses. So in order to walk by faith, really, now hold on here, you're going to have to leave the realm of the senses. I'm not talking about going on an acid trip. I'm just talking about if you're going to walk with God, if you're going to walk by faith, you're going to have to quit gravitating to what you perceive with your senses to the point where you deny that anything else exists. You're going to have to wake up to the fact and acknowledge the fact that there are things that exist that I can't perceive with my senses. God being the chief, the thing that you can't perceive with your senses, okay? And so we're going to have to leave our comfort zone. We're comfortable with our senses. We're comfortable in this natural world. This is what we were born into. This is what we grew up in, and we've developed our the ability to use our senses. We've developed trust in our senses, right? When you hear something that like I said earlier about stepping out into traffic, when you hear something, you trust what you hear, don't you? And it makes you move. and we trust our senses all the time because we're used to living in this realm, this natural realm, with our physical senses, okay? But when it comes to the things of God, for instance, to find out whether or not you're healed, and you're going to have to hold it on with me for a little bit and hear everything I say, all right? But to find out whether or not you're healed, you can't look at your body. So, okay, I knew he was going somewhere stupid. I thought, he's crazy. Now, you can't look at your body to tell whether or not you're healed. Yeah, that's exactly what I said. I didn't misspeak. Now, I know if you've got sickness and disease in your body, you know that it's there. Okay? And I'm not saying that you deny that it's there, because that's what, some other religions do and other sects do, Christian Science and these different things. They deny that sickness is real. Well, if you've ever suffered with sickness and disease, you know it's real, don't you? You know the pain is real. The suffering is real. So we're not saying that sickness and disease isn't real. We're not saying that it's not in your body. But what I'm saying is there are things that God, we're talking specifically about Christians here right now. There are things that God has declared about Christians. He's declared things about you that aren't necessarily manifesting in your life right now. The Bible says you're already healed, whether you realize it or not. The Bible talks about the stripes that Jesus bore on our back, and it says that it's with his stripes we were healed. That's past tense. If you look into the Old Testament in Isaiah 53, where we first see that revelation, That's on the other side of the cross, on the other side of Calvary. And God said, it's with his stripes we are healed. But if you go into the New Testament where it's quoted, and now we're on the other side of the cross where Jesus has already paid for our sin. He's already died for us. He's already rose from the dead. And now on the other side, on this side of the cross where you and I are living right now, the New Testament scriptures refer to that Old Testament passage, but the language changes from a present tense to a past tense and says that with Jesus' stripes we were healed. Well, if we were healed, then we should be healed, right? But like I said, but many of us have sickness and disease in our bodies, okay? But it's putting our faith in God's word and believing what God said and believing in what God has done by faith that will cause your physical body to change and to move from a place of sickness to a place of health. The problem, the mistake that so many of us make is we're trying to judge what we have from God, what he's done for us, by what we can perceive with our physical senses. But to walk by faith, like I said earlier, you're going to have to leave the realm of the senses. You're going to have to quit looking with your senses at your life, and you're going to have to look through the eye of faith instead and see what God has said about you, what he has promised to you, what he has given to you freely when he gave Jesus, and you're going to have to lay hold of that with your faith. That's what faith does. Faith lays hold of the promises of God and brings them into your life. Okay? Are you following me so far? So, I know, in the natural, it sounds a little crazy. I get it, okay? But faith is what causes the material thing to come into being. It comes into this realm. First you have the faith factor, what the truth of God's word is what I like to call it. I like to call the facts in this natural realm, call them facts, and I like to call what God said the truth. And the truth of God's word has the power to change the facts in your life. It may be a fact that you got a bad doctor's report and you got cancer. But the truth of God's word says that by Jesus' stripes you are healed. So if you'll if you'll take hold of his truth, if you'll believe his truth, if you'll stand on his truth, the truth of God's word can change the fact of that doctor's report. And it can change from a bad report to a good report. And we've seen this happen over and over again. People having sickness and disease and pain in their body, and suddenly by the power of God they're healed and they're set free. That's what God has provided for his children. That's just one of the things that we can appropriate, that we can receive with our faith, okay? So if this faith is the evidence of things not seen, or this evidence of things not perceived by our senses, then those things that we can't perceive by our senses must be real. If our faith or the word of God is the evidence that they exist, then they must be real, even though we can't perceive them with our senses. Okay, if they're real, there has to be another realm in which they exist, a realm not seen. That's what we're talking about. They exist in the realm of the spirit. If faith perceives realities in the spirit realm, then there must be a way to know what realities exist in the spirit realm so that we know what our faith is the evidence of. For instance, how many of you, and I know we're in 2018 now. Can you believe 2018? Time stops for no one, does it? It just keeps flying. And here we are. I was flipping channels yesterday afternoon in between doing some work, and I saw an old movie on, and I thought, wow, has it been 37 years? What was it? Raiders of the Lost Ark was on. I flipped by that, and I thought, when did that movie come out? It looks like 1981. I'm like, what? That's like two lifetimes ago. That's the year I graduated from high school, man. That's crazy. But so I'm dating myself a little bit, because some of you people don't know what this is, but you know, how many ever had a TV guide in the house, right? Now it's all on TV, it's all digital, and you see it on the screen or whatever. But you know, we used to have these paper things called TV guides, or you wouldn't know what was on TV, you had to get a TV guide. And if you're from a poor family like I was from, not poor family, I shouldn't say that, lower middle class, we didn't waste money on TV guides. Well, we could get it out of the newspaper. So the newspaper told you what was on TV, right? And so if you wanted to know what was being broadcast on TV tonight, all you had to do was look at the TV out of the newspaper and it showed you what was on, prime time, right? And of course you only had like four channels, so it didn't take long to look at the TV guide. Huh? You had network channels and PBS. That was it, baby. That's all. Cable hadn't been invented yet. There was no HBO. There was no, 2,000 whatever channels they have now. It's just crazy, man. But that TV guide would tell you this is what's being broadcast. So if you have a proper receiver, you can tune in to what is being broadcast on CBS tonight. If you've got a television and you can receive where you can tune into that and receive that, you can watch that. So you knew what was available to you. Okay, there was no on-demand, there was no DVR. If you didn't watch it live when it was on TV, you didn't watch it, right? Because, Gunsmoke was only on whatever night it was on, Friday nights at 7 o'clock, and if you weren't home at Friday night at 7 o'clock, you ain't watching Gunsmoke. Not unless you fast forward 30 years. Now you can go back and watch Dunsmoke, but you couldn't back then, okay? So, but that TV guide tells you what's being transmitted. Well, the Word of God is like our TV guide. If you want to know what's being transmitted from heaven, what can I put my faith on, what can I believe God for, all you have to do is look into the Word of God. And the Word of God is full of promises that God has made for His children, that He's given to His children. He's promised you to meet your need. He's promised divine health and wholeness for you. He's promised to give you wisdom and to comfort and strength, and He's promised to lead you and guide you by the Holy Spirit. There's so many things that He has promised us. And we can find it all in the Word of God. And when we find that God has given us something, and when God says that something belongs to us, then all we have to do is tune in. And how do we tune in? We tune in with our faith. Just like you want to watch Gunsmoke, you're going to tune in at, Channel 7 at Friday night at 7. If you want healing, you got to tune in, man. You got to tune into the scriptures, God's scriptures, and the Bible's full of them. God's scriptures on healing. I have a whole booklet I put together years ago, man. All it is healing scriptures, one after another, after another, after another, page after page after page after page. You want to stoke your faith? You want to feed your faith on healing? You go through all the healing scriptures in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. By the time you go through that a couple times, whew, you're like, yes, there's no doubt God wants me healed. There's no doubt God wants me well. There's no doubt God has already done His part in healing me. Now all I have to do is believe it and lay hold of it by faith and connect with that power and so that that healing can come to pass in my life. But the Word of God, remember, faith begins where the will of God is known. Some people have got in the ditch in this teaching on faith because they go off believing God for stuff and laying hold of stuff that they're just lusting after things. They don't have the Word from God on it. The written Word of God doesn't promise it to them. The Spirit of God never spoke it to them. It's just something, I want this. And sometimes people have gotten off into error, and they've chased things. They've gotten materialistic. That's brought a lot of reproach on the teaching of faith. A lot of people have become materialistic, and all they talk about is a bigger house and a bigger car and more money. And there's more to life than cars, houses, and money. We all need all three. Well, most of us need a car. We live in places like Boston. I met people in Boston didn't want a car, didn't need a car. But out here in this area, you pretty much need a car. Right, you don't have public transportation everywhere and all that stuff going on. And so you need those things, but you don't have to have the biggest one in town. Huh? There's other things you can put your faith on besides the biggest house in town, the biggest car in town, and just a truckload of money. And so people have brought reproach on the body of Christ on this teaching of faith because they've gotten into error with things. They've gotten into excesses. But, faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith begins where the will of God is known. So if you can find the Word of God on it that promises you something, then praise God. Faith comes by hearing that Word, hearing by the Word of God, just like Romans 10:17 says. Okay, our faith must be based on God's Word. That's where our faith begins. Now, go with me to Romans chapter 10, verse 8. I'm wrapping this thing up. I'm winding this thing down here a little bit. What I wanted to get to here, Romans 10:8 says this. But what does it say? The Word, talking about the Word of God, is near you, in your mouth, Why is the word of God in your mouth? To speak it. Right? I mean, you're not going to eat your Bible, literally. You're not going to tear scriptures out. You know, that's not going to do you any good. No, the word of God is near you, in your mouth. It's in your mouth to speak it. Okay? And it's in your heart. What is it in your heart for? To believe it. To believe it. The word heart in the word of God is oftentimes referring to your spirit. It's really your innermost being. Okay? We won't get into a whole teaching on spirit, soul, and body this morning, but it's your innermost being. It's not talking about your blood pumper. It's talking about your innermost being. Okay? So it's in your mouth to speak it. It's in your heart or your spirit to believe it. It's not in your mind so that you can understand it. Although it does pass through our mind. And sometimes our mind short circuits us because our mind says, I don't believe that. And then you miss out on the blessing of God. Because you couldn't wrap your head around it. Okay? The promise of God are like that sometimes. I mean, the fact that by Jesus' stripes you were healed, God has already provided healing for you. It already belongs to you. He's already done everything he's going to do to heal you. Now your head, some people, their head, they'll check out on that and they'll say, I don't believe that. Well, then you'll miss out. That's why he said it's in your mouth to speak it. It's in your heart to believe it. Didn't say anything about your head. That is the word of faith. Remember we said last week, the Bible's called the word of faith. Why? Because when it's proclaimed, when it's taught, when it's received, when it's heard, it produces faith. Okay? Word of faith is not a modern terminology. People say, are you one of those word of faith churches? Absolutely, because we believe the Bible. Paul was a word of faith guy. He's talking to the Romans here, you know, a couple thousand years ago, and he's calling the Bible the word of faith. So everyone that believes the Bible, everyone that's living by the Bible, is word of faith, whether they want to call themselves that or not. Anyone that's ever been born again has been born again by faith. The Bible says it's by grace through faith we are saved. That not of ourselves, it's the gift of God. There isn't anyone that's ever been born again that didn't get born again through faith, with their faith. So yeah, we better believe in faith or we're all dead in the water without it. Okay? That is the word of faith which we preach. Okay? Now, go over to Mark 11:23. So he's talking here about the importance of the word being in our mouth to speak and being in our heart to believe. Mark 11:23. This is right after Mark 11:22. Jesus, when he started speaking in verse 22, he said, have faith in God. We looked at it last week. It literally means have the God kind of faith, have the faith of God, or have the God kind of faith. That's the kind of faith we're talking about, the God kind of faith, the kind of faith that God has used from the beginning. Go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, and you'll see it over and over again. And God said, and it was. And God said, and it was. And God said, and it was. What was God doing in Genesis 1? He is using his faith to create the world. He's using his faith. He had a world in mind. He had a desire. He had a dream. He released faith-filled words. He spoke it into existence, and it came to be. Okay? So he's the author of our faith. It's his faith that we're patterning our life after. It's his faith that we're walking in. Okay? So have the God kind of faith. He goes on in Mark 11:23. This is Jesus talking. This isn't Kenneth Hagin, it's not Kenneth Copeland, it's not Jerry Savelle, it's not anyone else. It's not any preacher that you love that said this. It's not any preacher that you hate that says this. This is Jesus. See, people have done the throw the baby out with the bathwater thing. I don't like that preacher, so I'm not going to listen to that verse. These are the words of Jesus. You can't just throw that out because you don't like some preacher that preaches it. If you don't like me, I hope you don't throw Mark 11:23 out the window just because I'm preaching it and you don't like me. These are the words of Jesus. And he said, Jesus said, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, anybody have any mountains in your life today? Maybe you got a mountain, a financial mountain, a mountain of debt. Maybe you got a physical mountain. You got a mountain of sickness, a mountain of disease. Maybe you got a mountain of trouble. You got a mountain of family problems. A mountain of marriage trouble. Maybe you got a mountain. Maybe your mountain is an addiction. Maybe your mountain is depression. and your emotions, you know, are not right, not where they need to be. You know, God intended for emotions to be an expression of your spirit, not for your emotions to rule your life. Whatever your mountain is, Jesus said, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes. You could say in his heart, right? He's telling us not to doubt in our heart. Well, if he's telling us not to doubt in our heart, but to believe, well, if we're not supposed to doubt in our heart, then the believing he's talking about is in our heart as well, right? So we could paraphrase that and say, does not doubt in his heart, but believes in his heart, that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. You know, I want to talk to you for just a second here because we're getting close to closing here, but, you know, I want you to understand, you need to understand mental assent. You say, what is mental assent? Mental assent is mentally agreeing with the Word of God. And mental assent is not a bad thing by itself, but you need to understand mental assent is not faith. Faith is of the heart. Mental assent is of the mind. Mental assent is when you hear a scripture and you say, I agree with that, I believe that, and that's not a bad thing, right? When we hear the Word of God, we should agree with it. We should believe it. But that's not faith in and of itself. That's mentally agreeing with the Word of God. E.W. Kenyon wrote about this many years ago, a wonderful man of faith. And matter of fact, he pastored in Worcester, Massachusetts. He had a church in Worcester years ago where we pastored for about 15 years. And he talked about mental assent being one of the great enemies of faith. People think they're in faith because they are mentally agreeing with the Word of God, but they're not in faith yet because the Word isn't in their heart yet. Faith is of the heart. Faith's not in the head. Okay? Sometimes you have to bypass your head to get faith in your heart. So sometimes your head has a hard time processing the promises of God and the goodness of God and the greatness of God, okay? And so mental assent in itself is not bad. It's only bad if you stop there. If you stop there and assume that you've arrived and assume that you've gotten into faith because you mentally agree with the Word of God, no, that's not faith yet. Faith is of the heart. See, he said the believing, he said not to doubt in our heart, but to believe in our heart. Okay, it's believing is an important step. Believing in our mind is an important step, but it's not faith. Faith is of the heart. Matthew 12:35 says it this way: a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. It's out of the good treasure of our heart that brings forth good things. Faith is of the heart. Okay, and that's why we were talking about this last week, the importance of meditating on the Word of God, reading it, pondering it, speaking it over and over and over again, because the more you speak the Word of God, the more it gets into your heart. See, maybe you've had this experience in your life, or maybe you've heard a scripture and you've heard it maybe for many weeks, months, even many years, you heard a particular scripture, then all of a sudden one day you heard it again, and all of a sudden you saw it in a completely different way. All of a sudden it's like the light bulb came on. Has anyone ever experienced that? Some of you are saying yes, but you don't want to raise your hand. I'm too tired to raise my hand, Pastor. Thank you, Kofi. Kofi raised his hand for me. Trying to get people to raise hands in church, I know, whatever. I know, you're playing with your phone probably. I'm taking notes on my phone, Pastor. Okay, whatever. Don't lie to me. If you are, that's great, but don't lie to me. You don't need to lie to me. If you're texting your friend, that's okay. I'm not mad at you. But don't lie to me and tell me you're taking notes if you're not. Anyway, so what in the world was I talking about? Speaking the Word of God over and over again until you get it into your heart. The importance of speaking, we've got to get it down on the inside. When that light comes on and suddenly it's like, oh yeah, I've got it. Some people never get to that place because they never get beyond mental assent. They never get beyond mentally agreeing with the God, mentally agreeing with the Word of God, and so they never step over into that place of faith where suddenly it becomes alive on the inside of them. But see, when you're in faith, even though your mind might be dealing with some doubt, and don't worry about if your mind is dealing with doubt, because who has access to your mind? Everybody on the planet, including the devil. right? And they'll whisper in your ear, they'll talk to you, they'll say things, and they'll try to stir up doubt, they'll try to stir up all kinds of stuff inside of you. But when you have faith in your heart, it doesn't matter what your head's saying. Your head might be bouncing off the wall, your head might be swimming in doubt, but in your heart, I know that I know that I know. This is mine. This is mine. That's when you know you're in faith. When all the circumstances around you say no, and you're still saying yes because the Word of God says yes, and you're not being moved. You're standing on the Word of God, and you refuse to be moved by any situation, any circumstance, any other voice in your life. You're refusing to be moved by it because you know what the Word of God says. That's where we need to get to. That's a place of faith. Okay, and when you get to that place of faith, the only way to get there is by continuing to meditate on the Word day and night. It's out of the good treasure of a man or woman's heart that it's out of that treasure that brings forth good things. Okay, faith is of the heart, and not only that, but if your heart isn't right, your faith isn't going to work. Since faith is of the heart, if your heart's not right, your faith isn't going to work. I'll give you scripture on it. Paul's talking to the church in Galatia, and he's talking to them about the law versus, the law versus grace, circumcision versus uncircumcision. He's dealing with a lot of Jewish people that have been recently converted. And he says in Galatians 5:6, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love." Your faith is only going to work through love. If your heart's not right, if you're not walking in love, your faith isn't going to work. If you're holding bitterness towards people and unforgiveness towards people, if you're going around gossiping about people, slandering people, your heart's not in a good place. Your heart is in a bad place, and it's going to hinder your faith from working. That's why we're told, judge not lest you be judged, forgive and bless your enemies and bless them that curse you and all these things that we're told to do, right? It's all about keeping our heart right. It's all about keeping our heart right. It's about don't let your heart get cluttered with sin. Keep your heart clean because your faith depends on it. I mean, we have several motives to keep our heart clean, right? When we want to please God, number one, we should be wanting to bless those around us and believe the best of them. We shouldn't be wanting to talk about them, and we shouldn't want to be in strife with anyone, and we shouldn't be one, far be it for us to hold unforgiveness towards someone when God has forgiven us of everything. I say it over and over again, and I'll keep saying it. The older I get, the easier it is for me to forgive other people. Because I'm still receiving God's forgiveness today. Been in full-time pastoral ministry for almost 30 years. A couple years away. And I still need God's forgiveness. I still need mercy. So if I still need His forgiveness and mercy, then who am I to withhold it from you? So if you wrong me, I'm going to forgive you. I may not want to do lunch with you. Some people mistake that. Oh, then you haven't forgiven. Yeah, I've forgiven. But, if someone's treating me bad, if someone's, talking about me and treating me bad, there's nothing in the Bible that says I have to fellowship with that person. But I can forgive them. I can release them. And I can love them. And I can pray for them. I just don't have to have lunch with them. I want to have lunch with people that like me, just like you, right? You don't want to sit across the table from someone who hates you. Life's too short to eat lunch with people that hate you. No, but we got to keep our hearts right, church. We got to keep our hearts right for our own benefit, if not for anything else. Be a little selfish. Keep your heart right so your faith will work. Faith works by love. And back to 11:23 here, and I'm going to close with this. Mark 11:23, because we'll pick up next week. Mark 11:23, again, "For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea." Notice already he says, whoever says to this mountain. Whoever says to this mountain, so there's one time he says, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done. That's the second time he's mentioned saying. And then he finishes by saying he will have whatever he says. Three times he mentions saying. He didn't say he'll have whatever he believes. He said he'll have whatever he says. When you get to the Word of God in your heart, to where you begin to believe it in your heart, and you've moved from mental assent, mental agreement, to faith that's of the heart, the Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When faith rises in your heart, it's going to come out of your mouth. Whatever is in your heart is going to come out of your mouth, even if it's not faith. If there's bitterness in your heart, it's going to come out of your mouth sooner or later. Huh? If there's slander in your heart, it's going to come out of your mouth sooner or later. Right? But if there's faith in your heart, it's going to come out of your mouth sooner or later too. Right? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So Jesus himself here is saying concerning this mountain that we should be talking to this mountain. The first thing he says about the mountain is you're going to say something to it. Whoever says to this mountain, are you talking to your mountain today? Are you talking to your mountain? I didn't say talking about your mountain, talking to your mountain. There's a lot of people talking about their mountain. Oh, Pastor, you don't know how bad it's been, how much pain I've been, and how sick I am, and how hard it's been, and how broke I am, and how bad my marriage is. And I'm not making fun of any of that, okay? I empathize with all that because it stinks to be in that place. But what I'm saying is what Jesus is saying here is talking about your mountain isn't going to change your mountain. But when you start talking to your mountain now, and you're talking to your mountain with words of faith, now you have the power to do something about your mountain. All we do when we talk about our mountain, church, is we're making our mountain bigger. The more you talk about your mountain and the less you talk about God, the bigger your problem gets and the smaller your God gets. So if we'll quit talking about our mountain and start talking to it, start finding out, what did God say about my mountain? What did God say about my mountain? And then start agreeing with God. Find out what God said about your sickness. What God said about your debt. What God said about your marriage trouble. What God said about your emotional problems. What God said about all these things that trouble us, all these things that are mountains in our life. Find out what God said about them, and then start agreeing with God and start talking to that mountain. He said, if you say to the mountain, be removed, and you do it in faith without doubting, if you keep talking that way, your mountain's going to move. He said, something's going to change. Thank God something can change. Aren't you glad something can change today? I want to remind you, maybe you've never heard that. Your mountain can change. Sometimes we get so used to looking at the same stinking mountain day after day after day that we just have resigned ourselves to the fact that it's immovable. We were blessed growing up, Laura and I, growing up on the Front Range of Colorado, in Colorado, where we could see the beautiful Rocky Mountains every day you walk out. Now, those are beautiful mountains, not these mountains that we're talking about this morning. Those are mountains you don't mind seeing every day, right? Those are mountains you look forward to seeing every day. I mean, it just lifts your spirits just to look at those mountains. They're gorgeous. You know, and the view that we have outside our front door every single day. But you know, one thing we know about those mountains, they're immovable. And no one thinks about moving them, and nobody wants to move them because those are beautiful mountains. But some of us have been looking at some ugly mountains for a long time, and we've convinced ourselves, we've just gotten used to the view. You know, that view in Colorado, some people take that view for granted. Some people, they've lived there for so long, they've looked at those mountains for so long that they don't even really notice the mountains anymore. Lori and I are not like that. We refuse to take the mountains for granted. Every day, look at those mountains, man, and appreciate the beauty. Some people have been looking at some mountains for a long time, and it's just become part of the scenery of their life. And it's been that way for so long that they can't possibly imagine a landscape that looks any different. But I want you to, I exhort you, I encourage you, believe the words of Jesus. He's the one that said you to move the mountain. He's the one that said you to talk to it. He's the one that said you to change it. He's the one that said you to move it. If it needs to be moved, then guess what? He's not going to be the one that moves it. Yeah, it's going to be his power that does it. We understand that. We don't have the power to move the mountain ourselves. He's the one, it's his power that's going to move it. But his power is according to what? It's according to what's working in us. It's according to the faith that's working in us. It's according to what's coming out of our mouth. Jesus knew that we didn't have the power to move the mountain in ourselves, in our own ability, in our own, you know, with our own limitations. He said, "No, you just. But if you'll speak to that mountain in faith, the God kind of faith is what he was talking about. If you'll use the God kind of faith and speak to that mountain, glory to God, you'll connect with that power of God, and the power of God will move that mountain out of your life." And you can enjoy a new landscape without that ugly mountain. And you should envision your life like that. You should take some time with the eye of faith. You should envision your life in no sickness and disease. Some of you have a hard time doing it because you've had sickness and disease so long. Envision your life without debt. Some have been in debt so long, it's hard to even envision. Envision your marriage. Being blessed, joyful, peaceful. Your children, envision them serving God, passionate about the things of God. See, if you can't envision those things, then we've got some work to do to get into faith. Because faith can see those things. When we spend time in God's Word and we're speaking it and we're looking at it all the time and we're speaking it all the time, you do that enough and all of a sudden that vision will start to rise up inside of you and you'll see a different vision. You'll get God's vision for your life. You'll get His vision for your health, for your finances, for your family, for your emotions, for everything that concerns you. But it like we said last week, it's not automatic. It takes work, right? It takes effort. The life of it's like farming. It's work, man. You got to get up every day. You got to do it. Every day. You got work to do on the farm. Every day you got to slop them pigs. Every day you got you got stuff you got to do. And the life of faith is no different. Every day we've got something to do. Amen? But praise God. The end result is transformational. It's life-changing. Amen. Let me pray for you today. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you knew, Father. You knew that we would have mountains in our life. You knew that life would happen to us. It happens to all of us, Father God. We've all had mountains or have mountains in our life, Father, and we know they weren't created by you. We know it wasn't your plan. It wasn't your highest and best, but whether some of these mountains may be our fault, some of them may be someone else's fault, but regardless of whose fault they are, Father, they exist. They're here, but I thank you that you haven't left us without help. I thank you that you have given us your own faith, to connect to your own power, to enable us to move these mountains in our life, Father God, so that we can change the landscape of our life, Father. And I thank you that today hope is rising in people's hearts. I thank you that today those maybe, Father, that have lost faith or maybe even never had faith, Father, because it's just they've been looking at the same thing for so long. They've just assumed it's never going to change. But, Father, I pray that today there'll be a trickle, a glimmer of hope, Father God, that today they'll begin to think, you know what, I want to believe those words of Jesus. I want to find out about this faith. I want to walk in this faith. I want to change the landscape of my life. I don't want to be a victim any longer. I don't want things to just be the way they've always been. But now that I see by the power of God, according to the will of God, I can bring change. I can bring transformation to my life with this faith that God has given to me. I pray, Father God, that there'll be a new resolve rising up within, Father, a new spirit, Father God, rising up a spirit that says, you know what? I want what God has provided for me. I want what he has made available to me. I want what he has promised me, and I will not be denied. I will not be moved. I am going to step into this life of faith. I am going to feed my faith. I'm going to exercise my faith. I am going to talk to my mountain every day. I'm going to quit talking about it, and I'm going to start talking to it, and I'm going to trust God to show me the steps that I need to take and the things that I need to do. If there's adjustments I need to make in my life, then I'll make those adjustments. But I'm going to have God's highest. I'm going to have his best in my life, and I'm going to see the glory of God in every area of my life. Father, I pray that's rising up in hearts today. Father, I pray that for each one, Father, there's a miracle. There's a miracle with their name on it, Father God. There are breakthroughs with their name on it today, Father. And we thank you for encouraging them. We thank you for blessing all of us, Father, for helping us all. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you for it. Amen.